reading for today's sermon comes from the book of Isaiah, chapter 35, which is on page 622 of your pew hymnals. The wilderness and the dry land shall be glad. The desert shall rejoice and blossom. Like the crocus, it shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, the majesty of Carmel and Sharon, and they shall see the glory of the Lord, the majesty of our God. Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who are fearful of heart, be strong, do not fear. Here is your God. He will come with vengeance, with terrible recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then the lame shall leap like a deer and the tongue of the speechless sing for joy. For water shall break forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. The burning sand shall become a pool and the thirsty ground springs of water. The haunt of jackal shall become a swamp. The grass become reeds and rushes. And the highway will be there. And it shall be called the Holy Way. The unclean shall not travel on it, but it shall be for God's people. No traveler, not even fools, shall go astray. No lion shall be there, nor shall any ravenous beast come upon it. They shall not be found there, but the redeemed will walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads, and they shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Let us pray. O God, you are our God, and we earnestly seek you. Father, in this bleak midwinter, where snow has touched the ground, where many are hemmed in, we are reminded of the blusteriness of winter. How it bites, how it makes us cold. And Father, we ask that you be our warmth, that you light our path, that you melt the fragility of our hearts, so that we may be one, and that we may see your Son as the Messiah, God with us. In your mercy, Lord, we pray. Amen. It does not really matter where you are. This time of year is a hard time of year, especially for Judeans. Most people think that because you live in a place like Judah, a land of mostly desert and arid climates, that at least during this time of year, your average experience is pretty mild. But anyone who has lived in the desert knows differently. The cold bites at night when the sun dips below the horizon and the temperature plummets to near freezing. Considering the heat of the day and when the sun is at its peak, you realize that unless you want to carry a heavy pack all day long with winter clothes for nighttime, it can be dangerous to travel outdoors in the late afternoon. Compounded on this is the fact that the desert is dry. You'd think it would be preferable to humid, but it's not. Sure, it's more comfortable in the summer when the sweat doesn't cling to you, but in the winter when the cold wind blows, you become doubly dehydrated. This time, however, you don't have the heat to remind you to drink water, to beat down upon you, forcing you to think of wells and springs in the area and their wonderful, cool, liquid ambrosia. In the winter, things are still desiccated and dead. You just add in the bitter cold. It has an effect on all of creation. The livestock start to huddle together more and eat less, going into a sort of sleepy, extended trance. It's easier on the shepherds, who don't have to stray far, but it's harder on everything else. The lions and wolves become meaner in the winter. They have less to eat and more to lose. They become bold and brazen in their hunger. It is a constant struggle to protect whole herds and requires more than two shepherds to be present at all times. The cold wind has an adverse effect on the terrain. It covers over the roads with a fine layer of dust and erases the paths that people walk from town to town. The dead brush freezes at night and blows into the road where it breaks into pieces and obscures the highways. But those are just the details, the minutiae of what it means to live in the desert. The real reason this time of year is hard is more complex. The holidays are over. Yom Kippur is gone and Sukkot is long past. The harvest festivals are over and the fields are dead and brown. Some celebrate Hanukkah, but it is a recent occurrence, and it is mostly the city folk, the ones who had a lot invested in the Greeks getting out, who really celebrate it. But even then, it's more of a national holiday, a holiday for Judeans, rather than a religious one. The Lord did not command Moses to keep this observance. God did not sanctify it for Israel. And so while some use it as a sign of national solidarity, most of us find it a hollow celebration. God did not visit us on this day. Instead, we saved ourselves from the Greeks. And when you put it that way, the commemorations seem a bit feeble. And perhaps that's really the core of it. The weakness of this time of year that makes us feel so hollow. We are past the holidays. We are past the Sinai imitating heat of the summer that prompts reminders of Israel's journey through a parched desert to the promised land. We are past the festivals and holy observances that bring us close to Yahweh, the one who brought us from Egypt and exile. And if we are not close, then we must be far. Yes, that's really it. We are far, distant from the God we so long for and the kingdom we seek. This time of year is a bleak time where the days are short, the nights are long, and the Lord seems so far off. Hanukkah is no help. Passover is still some months away. In the in-between time, we drift. Blinded by blustery winds, weakened by lack of sun, confused by the turn of nature, and we close in on ourselves and simply wait it out, hoping that God is on the other side. For us today, this time of year brings to mind bright lights, sweet smells, and fond memories. Particularly important are our memories from when we were young, the celebration of this season. But over the years, things change. Perhaps it is because I work in sales, but I have to say that my perception of the holiday season has changed as I've grown older. In my youth, this time always held a special carefree feeling. It was a time of wonder and joy, time to be out of school and to be with friends and family, and of course, to receive gifts. Now I experience it in a very different way as I stand in the midst of a multi-billion dollar organization solely designed to distribute luxury goods and products to people. Now my eyes see something else. The unique thing about my experience is that in essence I get to see people as they are outside of work and family. I see them as they walk into the store. I see them as they interact with each other, with salesmen. I see them at their most harried and frazzled as they move with singular focus towards a goal that lies beyond their immediate grasp. They look ahead of the people and the products, ahead of the lines and the lists. They peer into the future toward this grand finale of sorts, trying to find the path that they remember from their youth, a path to joy and happiness from a time long ago. But more often than not, that path proves elusive and ephemeral. You see, the truth of this age is much the same as it was in Judea long ago. As much as we are surrounded by so much, so many people, so many buildings, so much hustle and bustle, you can see the look in people's eyes even during this time of year. In a way, we sort of live in our own wilderness. Despite the sheer number of people who crowd us, we are isolated, single individuals. We ride our cars to work, seeing those around us as merely vehicles to be enraged at. We take the train or bus and put our earbuds in, read our books, look straight ahead or out the window, anywhere but at the person next to us, across from us, especially not the out-of-luck peddlers who stand at the subway entrances. There's something about this time of year that sometimes wants to make us pass by the obvious signs of brokenness and decay in our world. I don't know if you've noticed this, but Boston isn't the prettiest place in the winter. The trees die and lose their leaves, which, once they fall into the ground, do an excellent job of rotting and getting in the most difficult places to get out. Without their leaves, the trees in this area are skeletal reminders of the death that characterizes the winter period. Cold breezes gust everywhere, wrapping around buildings and chilling to the bone, even through the most down of coats. It whips into our faces, making us weep tears we didn't feel to begin with, and freezing them to our faces an instant later, leaving streaks that remind us of our experience long after we have sought shelter. The blindness of our eyes obscures ice along the path as we tread like the lame, slipping and falling. Our path is blocked, and no matter how hard we try to get around it or go through it or tread over it, it seems further away, distant from our grasp. But the decay and brokenness is not simply about the oppressing weather conditions. It goes beyond this, I think. Perhaps it is the artificiality of this time of year, the way the colors and the sounds and the smells seem to mask over something less savory, like a bad air freshener. How often have you seen the strained smile over your friend's face, the taut lines of stress across their forehead as they struggle with some unspoken thing? How often has your own smile been pasted on, a sign for others of your anxious happiness, your pseudo-joy? How many of us, even in this most festive time of year, struggle to keep afloat of their inner turmoil? How many are on the brink of depression? How many drown in the sorrow of fears unknown by any, even their loved ones? For how many does this season remind us of the struggle of life, the pain of the path that we all try to walk? Let us have a moment of honesty. We few who sit here today, let us stop for a moment, just a short moment, and let the walls down. Let us cast aside our masks and our good cheer, whether real or fake, and for an instant reveal to our brothers and sisters just how broken we are. Let us show that truth that we all know is true, that none of us have it all together. That often we find ourselves barely clinging on, hanging by a thread to the security that we all want. Because the truth is, my brothers and sisters, my family, that we are, all of us, in dire straits. We are pressed in on all sides, stricken by life, by people, by events, even perhaps by the divine one. We transition from one malady to the other. We are lame, we are blind, we are deaf, we are mute. We become ill, we become sick, we become overwhelmed. The burden is great, and the way is narrow and treacherous. The slope is slippery and our strength is almost gone. And let us be honest, the end of the path is far off. And just getting there seems unlikely, much less finding God on the other side. You see, we are not so different, are we? You and I, you and the person next to you, we and the people of Judea. Because the truth, the real truth that transcends time, is that life is hard no matter where you live. Having automobiles and indoor heating and smartphones and tablets does nothing to make us better than those who had wool coats, shepherd's crooks, and cured leather sandals. It may change the details, but the core is still the same. In a harsh and difficult land, the creation that seems to cry out for our blood, our experience is still the same. Do you think it was very different for someone like Mary? She finally begins to start a life that most people want. She has a good future with a good husband and a life to begin, and everything gets turned upside down. Her life will never be the same, and will in fact end in sorrow and hurt, missing the son with whom she likely never truly connected. She, of all people, has a reason for sorrow. The irony of the angel to call her favored one. How is her life so favored? And if not her, how any of us? Shall we live as exiles in a land that constantly seeks our downfall? You often hear people talk about how in the hustle and bustle of the season, things get lost. The true meaning of Christmas. Popular movies often use this motif, and there's always a happy ending where the girl gets her guy, or the burglars are outwitted by a mischievous kid, or Buddy the Elf finds his real dad. Such endings often make us believe that we too can find the happy ending if we simply wait for it or work hard enough. But the truth is that after the season, when the new year comes, we all have some measure of the doldrums. The festivities are behind us. The celebrations have left no lasting mark. The facade is gone, and our lives return to what they always were. We are adrift, isolated, lonely people looking for some kind of direction. But it is lost amid the blowing wind and the harsh wilderness. But, as always, there is good news. A good news of the greatest joy, which is for all people across all time. For today, this day, in a town far away, in a time long ago, a Savior was born. With him comes new life for all, a chance at peace. In the writing of creation, in him is the fullness of God that we so desperately seek, and by him all things that surround us have been made. The wilderness, though the wilderness is dry, the springs will blossom forth flowers, and the land around us will sing for joy. The plants will stand upright, and the rocks will cry out in praise, for the Son of God has come, the Messiah named Jesus. Like the people of long ago, we have suffered the ills of life. And indeed, these trials do not disappear. We will still be pressed in and struck down. We will still struggle, for though the path is clear, it is still difficult to tread. Even youths grow tired and weary, and the young will stumble and fall. But in Jesus we find hope and relief. The season no longer stands for death and decay, but as a catalyst for life, and life in abundance. In Jesus we find the strength to go on. In Jesus we find the hope of a better life. In Jesus we find a vision of a bright future. In Jesus we see that we are not alone, that God is not far off. Praise the Lord, for in Jesus we know that God is with us. And this is indeed good news, brothers and sisters. For the God who made heaven and earth has sought out his chosen ones to give them new life. What shall we say in response to this gospel? Shall we magnify the Lord and rejoice in God our Savior? Shall we bless the name of God and sing of his mighty acts? Shall we kneel in awe at the grace of our God? All these things, and so much more, my friends, for the Savior has come to us, and in him we shall find rest. Blessed be the name of the Lord.